Here on Active Voice Radio today, we're joined by Texas Congressman Ron Paul. Congressman Paul, welcome back to the show today.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Wonderful to speak with you this morning. Let's first address what happened with the president last week during the online town hall. There were thousands of questions regarding cannabis, and the president delivered somewhat of a snub to the reform community out there. What are your thoughts on what President Obama said about legalizing marijuana last week?
Well, I would think a lot of people ought to be disappointed because he's indicated that maybe he'd bring about some changes, and most people thought he'd be a little bit more tolerant, but it doesn't look like he's going to be, so it was a disappointment to a lot of people, including myself, but it looks like nothing is going to change yet.
And what about the issue of legalizing marijuana as an economic, the economic aspects of legalizing marijuana? That's how those questions were couched that day, as an economic stimulus, as it were.
And some people have used that's in the Depression when they legalized alcohol and they taxed it. I don't have much interest in that. I understand the argument, but I think our government has too much money. That's the problem. I want them to have less. So I look at it slightly differently. I want people to have freedom of choice, and I don't want them to be denied something that might be beneficial to an individual. And decision making like this should be by individuals that are the very most at the state or local level. But I would never argue the case that we should be doing this for economic reasons. Matter of fact, it was the economic penalty, the use of the tax code, that brought about this mess in the first place in 1938, when Roosevelt decided, well, we got to keep some people busy. They're not involved in prohibition anymore, so we'll put a tax on marijuana. So it was an economic issue for him back then. Indirectly, though, I guess he was mainly wanting to stop the use of it. So no, I wouldn't use that as an argument, but I understand why other people might.
Well, and again, as you mentioned, the Marijuana Tax Stamp Act, the only expert to testify against it was the legal counsel for the American Medical Association. And there are many states, including New Jersey and New Hampshire, that are about halfway through the legislative process in authorizing a medical marijuana program. You have co-sponsored legislation to protect medical marijuana patients. We saw Eric Holder, the Attorney General, stand up and say that the federal government would no longer interfere with state-authorized medical marijuana programs or patients who are operating under state law. Is that discretionary, or do we need some legislation to really firm that promise up?
Well, that should be enough, but I understand he hasn't followed his own promises. Let's hope he does. But I guess the legislation would fortify it and put more pressure on them, but he could do it himself. He just shouldn't prosecute these cases and argue that it's not a constitutional function. But nobody's compelling him to do this. So the administration has a lot of discretion. But it's just too bad that they even pursue this, because I take a strict approach to the whole process, believing that this is a state function and that the federal government doesn't have jurisdiction.
Is that what medical marijuana comes down to, is a privacy issue, a state's rights and a privacy issue?
For me, basically, and in freedom of choice on difficult subjects, such as, using substances that might not be generally accepted by the public because somebody believes it helps them. So they make the choices rather than government bureaucrats. And that's the way it should be done in a free society, but we are not exactly a free society anymore, so we're always asking the government to make our decisions for everything we eat and drink and smoke and whatever.
Is this, in many of the states, they talk about a bona fide doctor-patient relationship, and you, as a doctor and somebody who's served thousands of patients out there, what does that really mean? I mean, what kind of relationship can you have as a doctor with your patient to discuss things like medical marijuana? I mean, do you feel that doctors are afraid to bring this up, especially in states where these programs aren't authorized?
Well, no, I doubt it very much. I don't think it ever came up in my office when I was actively practicing. There were a lot of assumptions made. I had to deal with drug usage, both prescription or non-prescription drugs, because I was taking care of pregnant women, and they all have potential danger. So I was preaching as as much caution as legalization, you know, because I know some of the difficulties they can get into. But I don't think there's a whole lot of discussion, at least in my experience. I guess it's a little bit different in the states like California and other places where they've moved along a little bit further on that. But I think one of the medical downsides of all this is, although I have some, you know, some pretty strong beliefs that a lot of people can benefit, because of it being illegal, I don't think we have gotten to the bottom of it to really know what is best and how good it really is, and have there been double-blind studies, and all we're going is by emotional reaction by the drug warriors, and they're in charge of everything. So we don't even advance in our scientific knowledge about you know, the benefits or the dangers.
Now, President Obama and standing next to Joe Biden, they nominated Gil Kerlikowske, the soon-to-be former police chief of Seattle, as the new director of the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy. You mentioned drug warriors. Do you think that that's going to change? We've heard a shift. We heard Hillary Clinton talk the other day about not using the phrase war on terror. Are we going to lose that phrase war on drugs soon, too?
Well, let's hope they change it, but not just change the title. Sometimes they do that. But even though we might be cautiously optimistic about some changes, at least we were hopeful, and now we don't know where we stand. But overall, I've generally been optimistic that the country will eventually wake up and see the futility of all the drug laws. And I think the sentiment is changing in the Congress. I have taken this position for a long time. I have a district which is very, very conservative, and it's never been held against me. And most of the politicians in Washington, if we have some token vote on marijuana, they won't vote, you know, on the side of freedom of choice. And yet the members will come to me and they admit that we're right about the issue, but they said there's no way they want to go home and try to explain that. It's this political mentality that it's a killer if you don't vote that way. What about this whole thing about hemp? They won't even vote to legalize hemp. And that of course, is just an offshoot from this war on drugs. I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever. But they wouldn't dare vote for legalizing hemp, no matter how much arguments. But I'm hoping this whole thing will change. There are some hearings that are planned on the drug war. And it'll be on one of the subcommittees I'm on in the Foreign Affairs Committee. So maybe some good will come out of this shortly.
You mentioned hemp there, and although there might not be an immediate economic viability for legalization of marijuana for recreational or medical use, there has been a long documentation about the economic viability of a hemp farming industry here in the United States, and you've co-sponsored the Industrial Hemp Farming Act, and I heard this week that there was a Dear Colleague letter circulating around for this year as well. Tell us about the act. What would it do?
Removes the prohibition, and the farmers in the states could do what they want with raising hemp, and there's a lot of states that would like to do this. Matter of fact, there's a pretty good chance that bill might go in today if I have everything ready for it. That's why the Dear Colleague letter went around, and Barney Frank's the original co-sponsor on that. But it would just get us back to where we were. Probably it was in the 40s when they were allowed to raise hemp in this country. And it to me, it seems so logical. It baffles me at times why we can't get these things passed.
Again, this absolute prohibition on cannabis has caused this problem in the farming industry when it comes to hemp. How much money, you know, how many farmers could be farming hemp out there? I mean, is this something that would happen just in a few states, or is this something hemp farming could happen around the country?
Well, I don't know all the details. I think I heard somebody say that hemp is pretty easy to grow. It uses very few chemicals. It could compete with cotton. Maybe the cotton industry is keeping the hemp from coming in. Somebody bought me, one of my kids bought me a shirt, one not too long ago, made out of hemp. And it's pretty neat that you can have that. What about, you know, possibly making ethanol and all kinds of things, paper. So I think and you may know more about it than I do, but I think it can be raised pretty much any place in the country. But I know the people most interested have been, you know, up in the Dakotas. They have come to my office to talk about it.
And Congressman, you were talking a little bit about a shift in Washington amongst your colleagues. There has been a lot of news about marijuana really in the last 8 weeks. I mean, between Michael Phelps and Merrill Lynch, marijuana has become a bit of a media darling and has become a little bit more mainstream, brought into more of a mainstream discussion out there. Are people paying attention to that? It sounds like there's a little bit more awareness there.
Oh, I think so, and that sort of fits my argument that we are moving in that direction. I just think that we've gotten a few mixed signals from Obama, but I think the politicians will shift when they're sure about the sentiments, when they're sure it's not going to hurt them, you know, politically. And I think that's where we're winning, and maybe all of a sudden they'll decide it's not a big deal.
Are perhaps viewing marijuana and hemp reform as a social justice or civil rights issue? I mean, we have this large population of people who have experience with marijuana. Over 100 million people have admitted on the National Home Survey that they have some experience with marijuana out there. And of course, arrests are about 872,000 people a year on this one. Maybe a saturation point is coming in with this.
On the arrests and all, yeah, and I just think of all the money and wasted time on this. So, well, the evidence is pretty obvious, so let's remain optimistic that we can make a change.
Indeed, and in other states, it's become a political asset for many politicians out there. So maybe something to buoy up a few of the politicians.
I've never claimed that in my district, but I think it's amazing that I haven't been penalized. I was out of office for 12 years. I ran again in 1996 after everybody knew exactly what my position was. So I had a primary, and $1 million by the Republicans were spent because nobody could get elected with that position. Then the Democrats, when I got into the final and the Democrats ran against me, they spent another $1 million thinking that there's no way a guy like this could get elected. I think the people are way ahead of the politicians on this issue.